Well, hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Get to Know Grace. I'm Pastor Rachel, and today I am joined by a fantastic human, by one of our wonderful members, Tim Koenig, and I am so excited to hear so much. Tim, I'm so excited to be here together, to be able to hear the stories of God's presence in your life and to be community in this way. So thanks for being here.
Yeah, absolutely. This is a wonderful opportunity to say hi to you and also to all the friends at Grace.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, let's open with a word of prayer. Good and gracious God, we give you such thanks for being able to join together in this way, to be your people in your world, and to continue sharing the story of your presence in that world. Be with us during this time. Help all who are listening to have open ears, open hearts, open minds to all that will be shared over this time. Help us all to receive Tim's story, to receive your presence in Tim's story, to receive it with grace, curiosity, respect, and honor for all that you have done in Tim's good life. All this and so much more, we pray in your holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Tim, to get us started off, tell us a little bit about yourself. What would you like the good people of Grace Lutheran Church to know about you?
Yeah, it's, I can give you a list of things, but mainly what I'll say is, first and foremost, I'm definitely human with all the frailties and worries and fears and everything else that come along with that. And there's also the highs and lows. And so certainly I'm in need of God's grace and God's love, and just continue to learn what that's all about. And I'll also share that I'm a husband to my partner and best friend in the whole wide world, Lisa, and also a father. And I'm very, there's lots of pride and joy in that. I am an aspiring mentor. And so we'll talk a little bit about that as well. And at work, work, there is work too. So I'm a quality director at an aerospace company. And I guess the final thing I'll say is I'm a believer in and follower of Jesus Christ. And I'm continuing to be passionate about learning what that means and what it brings. And I'm also passionate about learning and sharing knowledge at my place of work too.
Amazing. Oh, I love that. I love that you started it off. Everything you just shared about yourself is somehow connected to someone else, that you are who you are because of your relationships, that that's your identity. And I love that about you, that's the most important stuff that we need to know about you, is these connections that you have in your life, including faith and trust in that. And I just, that warms my heart. It's good to hear.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to go off on a little bit of a tangent, if that's all right.
Please.
It's some of the stuff that I'm learning about being a better mentor and leader. And you said the word that I'd like to bring up, and it comes down to the relationships. Yeah. And those relationships are so incredibly important. Certainly with our Heavenly Father, and certainly with all of those around us. And you're going to ask me a question about what brought me to Grace and what keeps me at Grace. And I'll say a lot of things, but what it really comes down to is that word, relationship, right? And so what I'm learning in my role in becoming more of a mentor to future leaders at the company I work for, the name of it is Exotic Metals Forming Company. I've been there for almost 34 years.
Wow.
And I've been certainly a technical leader. Certainly what I'm learning how to do, I've learned it kind of by making lots of mistakes along the way. And now I'm doing more formal learning, but it's really, relationships start with trust. And if you think about, trust is a big word, and the way it's described and the way I think of it is, Are we constantly looking out for the interests of others as if their interests were our own?
Yeah.
Yes. And so trust is a big piece of that. So people believing in me and who I am and being, you know, being worthy of being a mentor to them, it all starts with trust.
Yeah. Right? That's a beautiful paraphrase of love thy neighbor as thyself. Like that is exactly what you're talking about of doing your best. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So thank you for bringing that to light as well. And so, you know, a big part of Tim Kernick too is I talked about passion for learning, passion for sharing knowledge. And there's a lot of passion that Tim Kernick brings to many situations. And sometimes that compassion would be better. Sorry, that passion would be better if it came out as compassion. And so we'll talk a little bit about some of those failures and how God's grace really helped bring that trust back into the relationships that I've had. And so as far as compassion, though, it's do we demonstrate care and concern for our colleagues and teammates? And how well do we do that?
Oh, I love that. Well, I gotta say, I don't know that anyone else has provided such a fantastic segue into our next question. So I'm so excited to talk about this next one. It's so good. So tell us, all of us who are listening and who are part of this, what brought you first to grace, or how did you first come to grace, and what brings you back? What keeps you coming back?
Yeah, I thank you for that question. I would say what first brought us to grace is we had our daughter, Maya, who I know you've met. And Maya was going into the seventh grade. And as you know, confirmation starts then. So it was very important to us that we find a home church for both of our kids, you know, not only Maya, but our son Joel as well. And then have them be, you know, grounded in that community of faith and understand what that means, find those relationships and those, you know, and they even have those lifelong relationships that are so important to them that we know happen. And so we visited Grace in about 2000, 2001, thought this is pretty good stuff. And then kind of kept doing concentric circles around our house, hitting all the Lutheran churches from really Seattle down to Tacoma. And then we ended up coming back to Grace. And at the time it was, you know, Pastor John and Pastor Ed Marquardt, it happened to be Pastor Ed who was just talking about the importance of just loving on our children. And it just hit us, and just giving them everything that we have, you know, developing that trust with them, compassion, helping you yourself demonstrated courage and helping them understand what courage is all about. All of these things that help you be not only a better parent, but a better leader, a better friend, a better husband, a better father, you know, all those things that lead to being a better mentor and whatever it is that we choose to pursue in life, it's important. And we learned those things, all of those things at Grace. And mostly what I'll say is that we develop very deep relationships and friendships with the people there. And that's, you know, I don't know how often I listened to a couple of recent podcasts, and I don't know how often it comes up, Pastor Rachel, but friendships and relationships are huge at Grace, and they're so important. And, you know, that's what continues to bring us back to the community of faith in Grace.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's, I would say 9.5 times out of 10, the answer to what keeps you coming back. It's the relationships, it's the people. And I think that's been the hardest part in COVID, is just missing the people. And even now that well, we were online only for the month of January, as many of us know, but so we're recording today just after our first Sunday back in person for 2022, which is wild to think about. But prior to going online only again, part of what was so amazing was seeing the people who were able to come in, who did feel safe to come in and worship. And part of the heartache is knowing that there are still people out there who don't yet feel comfortable coming in and being in large crowds for any variety of very valid reasons of not being in church, but you just miss them. Whoever you are, that you're not back in church yet, we miss you. We miss seeing your faces. We miss hearing your voices. We miss, even if it's an air hug from 6 feet away, giving you an air hug or whatever it is, because it's that relationship piece. And we just don't feel whole without everyone there.
Yeah, that's well said. And it's so true that we miss a lot of people, and we're missing a lot of opportunity to just continue to extend those relationships with that many more people. Yes. The pandemic is hard. It's tough on all of us. We're meeting on Zoom. We're doing all these different workarounds just so we can continue this community. And so, you know, and I would just say, you know, I'll shout out to everybody that's involved in doing this thing, you know, our board, our leaders, our the employees at Grace, and continue to figure out how to continue to extend those relationships and those personal touches and the pastoral calls and, you know, everything that's being done. Bravo and thank you for doing all of those things, because we're so blessed to have this community around us and to continue to be with us during really a tough time.
Yeah, ditto. Well said. Yes. And exactly like you're saying, extending to all of the people who have never been to Grace, we miss you too. Like, we miss you. We just want everyone there.
Yeah,
I agree wholeheartedly. Well, let's jump back into the previously scheduled program and jump into our third question of the night, which is for listeners who have joined us before, you'll know what I'm about to say, but for anyone who is listening for the first time, this podcast is called Get to Know Grace for two reasons. The first is so that we can get to know each other and get to know Grace Lutheran again, because like you said, it's been so long since we've seen each other. This is kind of a reminder of those people that maybe we haven't kept up with. But it's also a chance for us to witness to and hear stories of God's grace active in the world. So our last question, tell us about a time in your life when God's grace made a big difference.
Well, I'll start. I guess I have three different examples if we have time. And so I'm sorry?
Plenty of time.
Okay. Yeah. So I'll start in a space where, and I don't know if it's necessarily God's grace, but certainly God's spirit led us to the place where we have been able to come to. And certainly in our as a team comes together and forms and kind of tries to understand what this process is all about from people that have never done it before. And I'm talking about the call ministry team. Some would call it the call committee. We choose to not use the word committee because we want people engaged and invested and fully bringing their all, right? Yeah. And so you got to meet a lot of these wonderful team members, right? Yeah. And during a call, but I'll say what you saw from all of us was probably a pretty well honed machine, but it took time to build that up, right? Yeah. And it took a lot of effort just to understand what each of our individuals' roles were and what we were there called to do, and then how to discern through really the many, many different rostered leaders that we were able to get in touch with. And I would say and so there was a lot of, you know, I talked about that Tim Kernick passion to keep things moving and stay on task. And then the thing that I've learned, and it's very important, it's another leadership trait, I'll say, it's called temperance. And what I mean by that is, you know, practicing self-control, restraint, self-discipline, those kinds of things. And so, and it wasn't just me, but I had to be the lead. I was fortunately the leader of that wonderful, wonderful team of folks. And they just, they too wanted to keep this thing going, right? Mm-hmm. And so, and through our patience and through our discernment and through our prayer, we were able to really listen to the will of God. And then we had somebody on our side too, in the name of Bishop Shelley Brian Wee. And she pulled out a miracle along with God's help. I'll say this. I'll say this. A church like Grace does not ever, it's so unheard of that a first call pastor would come to a church the size of Grace.
Yeah.
And it was through us learning to trust each other. It was through our hopes, through our resiliency and you know, resiliency in the face of adversity and humility through that whole process and exhibiting temperance. Those are all words and things that I'm learning what it means to be an even better leader, and in fact, servant leader. And so those are just tools and practices that we're all learning to do better in that space. And I was able to practice a lot of it. We were able to learn it as part of that team. But I think, you know, at the end of the day, through that patience and discernment and everything else, the person that's sitting across from me in this Zoom is here and blessing us all with your presence and everything that you bring to Grace Lutheran. And so what a testament to God's Spirit being involved in that whole process.
Yeah. I mean, it's so unheard of that a church like Grace would get a first call pastor. It's so unheard of that a church in the Pacific Northwest would get a first call pastor, because that's calls right. Out here are a hot commodity because everyone wants to live out here. And so I felt so unbelievably excited when I first got Grace's paperwork, because it was sort of an answer to so many prayers of not only the location of being in the PNW, which is stunning and gorgeous and is kind of like the country of my soul, I think. Like, I think the landscape of the PNW is like my soul's landscape. Anyways, to have the location here, but then to read through who Grace is. And then as I've been learning and growing and experiencing more about who Grace is, it's just like this kaleidoscope of all the stuff I wanted and like was hoping for and praying for in a call of incredible teammates in ministry and the stuff we get to do, like service leadership and you know, reaching out to community members, like just, it's just, what I'm trying to say is that it is a both way blessing. I also feel incredibly blessed to be here and to be a part of what Grace is trying to do, what Grace is doing, all of it. It's just so cool.
And then, you know, do we all believe and think that God's grace was involved in this whole process of bringing us together? And amen to that. Right. Yeah. And so that's one important example that probably hits home closer to both you and I, because we were partners in this discernment process together, right? And I got to know you, you got to know us, you got to know Grace, and, you know, and thank goodness, you know, we landed where we landed, and we look forward to even, you know, getting beyond this pandemic, because you were 3 weeks or 4 weeks pre-pandemic that you're, you know, it wasn't very long.
It was not very long. I started January 27th, if I remember right, which is like just 2 years ago, which is insane already. But And then my installation was March 1st, and that was one of the last events that Bishop Shelley did in person before COVID hit. And I think we might have done like, I remember doing Ash Wednesday in person, and I think we did one or two Wednesday soup suppers, and then that was it.
Then it's been this whole new learning experience of how to create community and bring church online and every other way that we've done that. And it's we're ready to get out in person. Is that fair to say?
Yes. Absolutely.
And so, and I'll bring up another example. And, you know, this is something that I'll say I'm a CDL holder, which is commercial driver's license. I earned that CDL to become a youth advisor for Grace Lutheran Church.
Yeah.
And so I've had the privilege to go on 8 different mission trips to either Kellogg, Idaho, working for Habitat for Humanity, or driving to Mexico. And my very first year driving to Mexico, the minibus broke down. And so the other bus driver stayed with Dave Ellis, who was our main mechanic and bus driver. So my very first adventure, leaving from Sacramento, California, down to Los Angeles, California, was where we were staying. I was the sole bus driver for that entire trip on my very first,
holy cow, drive
for a mission trip.
That is not a short drive.
No. And we ended up going through Los Angeles at rush hour.
Oh God.
All that. And everything was, you know, God was looking out for me. Mm. I'll just say that. Right. And so, you know, and through the 8 years, certainly, being an advisor and just working with both our high school youth and then also building those relationships with the youth at the orphanage. It was beautiful. It was a great 8-year run. And I'll just say there was a time where I was both vice president of our church council and also going on mission trips. And I would say I may have overextended myself a little bit during that time. and I'll say, you know, there were times when things wouldn't go well during our project, and I was a project leader at the orphanage. And I'll just say, thanks to the advisors who stepped in and saw that I needed help. Mm-hmm. Thanks to the youth director that was involved at the time. Thanks to the youth who gave me feedback, right? And so they had the courage to give me feedback that, you know, I might have been a little too passionate about things going exactly right. Just learning and having that wisdom and to have that temperance, which is, you know, maintaining that patience in the face of adversity. Because things happen on trips. And I'll even say during this trip, there was a blind intersection I was going around in the bus, and there happened to be a small trailer that was actually a taco stand. And so people in the bus circles kind of know this story. But what ended up happening is I didn't see a lid on it. There was like a window that was up on this taco stand, and it was parked in an area where it should not have been. But as I was going around the corner, I certainly cleared the main trailer, but that window stuck out enough that it caught the mirror.
Oh no.
And so I pretty much killed the taco stand.
Oh, no.
Right. And I'll try to hold this together as I bring this up. But what ended up happening, you know, And I was teaching bus classes. I was teaching people how to be Uber safe. I was teaching all these things. And talk about, you know, living through an episode where you're smacked right in the face with a dose of humility. Mm. And not only that, but everybody, you know, the owner, the leader of the orphanage, Eduardo, knows a mechanic who brought in their mechanic in, and we towed the taco stand up to the orphanage, and the auto mechanic did the body work on it to straighten everything out. Wow. And Pastor Jason and the main person who runs the orphanage every day, they were out painting. They're putting oil-based paint after the mechanic fixed everything up. Here's my pastor and the main leader painting this beautiful new taco stand that I kind of ruined, right? Yeah. And so just that moment of seeing their grace to me in a moment where I had, you know, certainly I made a mistake. It was certainly unintentional. But just to see their grace in that space, just acting out of compassion to me. And they didn't need to do that. I was going to go down and paint the thing, right?
Yeah.
But here's my pastor friend and and Melo, who's the main person who runs the orphanage day to day, out there, you know, just giving love back and just taking care of this thing. And we ended up giving the trailer back to the owner, and he was overwhelmed that it came back in better shape than what it looked like before, right? So that's a story of grace to me.
Yeah. Oh, that's beautiful. Oh my gosh. And it's the story of grace without sounding too, I want to say drinking the Kool-Aid, but that's not it. But it really is, it's grace in action. And I love that's part of why that's so associated with our churches, because it's not just grace that we receive passively and say, great, thanks God, but it is like life-changing, life-altering, overwhelming grace in action, that it has movement and impact, and it's not just it's so much bigger, I think, than sometimes you think it might be, that grace is just incredible and overwhelming and so much bigger. Oh, I love that.
Yeah. No, it was I came out from the orphanage and just saw them doing their thing, and they said hi, and I just, you know, I just had to thank them. That's all I could do, right?
Yeah.
And gave them each a hug, and, you know, I went back to my project, right?
So, yeah.
And just, if we have time, I have one more story that really is touched me too. And I'll say, we have had such a long-standing relationship with the orphanage. We are the only church who gets to spend significant amounts of time with the orphans. In fact, mm-hmm. we got to a point where we have a team working on projects, a team spending, you know, a half day with the orphans, and then another team that would actually do like small lessons and just learning. And like Tessa Kerpane taught them different songs and different things. And it was just, we were able to work our way and build that trust. And so with Lupita and Melo, who again were the day-to-day leaders of the orphanage, and Lupita, we asked Lupita if there's something we could do that would help ease her burden, right? Mm-hmm. And she said, you know, anything we could do. And we noticed like early in the morning that she was doing devotionals, which is huge. Their faith development is very, very important to mm-hmm. to the whole orphanage, with especially with the kids, and how the kids respond to that faith, and having that faith, it's inspiring. And so we asked, would it be possible for us to just lead one devotional in the morning, or one Bible study? And we wanted to make it familiar. And so we used some songs, and we did a couple of Bible verses and that kind of thing. And the songs were fine, but I guess Lupita and Melo had the courage to let us know and give us feedback that what we were doing, the devotional time, wasn't as spiritual as they wanted it to be for the kids. And so we said, you know, we thank them for that feedback. And so we said, just give us a day and let us see what we can come up with, right?
Yeah.
And so we took, one of the advisors said, hey, I've got this. They took their little family unit. They went to work. They developed songs that matched the message that we were going to give, and the devotional, and the readings that we wanted, that they wanted us to do. And it was, let me look it up on my phone real quick. It was Matthew 28, I believe, where it says, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
I should have known this off the top of my head, but I don't. And so come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And so that was the main message of the day. Mm-hmm. And so what happened is that team, that small family team, ended up reaching out to one of our very skilled carpenters that was on the trip. He's part of our gospel band. Name is Malcolm. Mm-hmm. Malcolm built out of the construction materials that we had. He made sure he planned it out, so he had enough of a 4x4 left over that he built a cross. And we had some window frame paint, and so we painted the cross. And then he made a stand for it. It just ended up being this beautiful little thing that sat in the area where the devotionals were being done. Mm. And so part of the message and the activity that we did is we explained the importance of the cross, and we explained the importance of that passage that I said to the kids. And it was all being translated in Spanish. And so they understood. And so we turned the lights down low and lit some candles, and we said, so now what we want you to do is think about how you can give your burdens to Jesus Christ. And so we handed out post-it notes, and each kid kind of wrote down a phrase or a person or somebody in their life. And some of the stories these kids have, and the things that they've had to live through, and the reason why they were in the orphanage, it's some pretty heavy stuff. Mm-hmm. And so as we processed through this devotional, and the kids started writing down their phrases and bringing the post-it note up and placing them on the cross.
Wow.
You could see them tearing up, and we were too. We were all just sharing with them in our own, and we all too, every one of us, you know, advisors and our youth, we're doing the same thing, right? And just giving away those fears and those worries and those challenges that we've had. And the youth were, the orphans were able to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And what a powerful memory that was, to see that and to see them crying, and then just to see their shoulders lifted of that burden.
Yeah.
Oh, what a powerful thing that we created together, and certainly, you know, God's spirit and God's presence was there.
Yeah.
Right. And so I did better than I thought I would hold it together through all that.
You did great. No, I love that you shared that story, Tim, because I'll be honest, when I started at Grace, I was a little bit not weary, but not concerned, but that there was there, I've seen and heard of a lot of damage that can happen when we as a church in America embark on sort of these short-term missionary projects where we go into a country, we go into a community, fix up some things and then leave again, that the damage can often be outsiders thinking they know the answers to the insider problems, or bringing assumptions that we have about who the people are that we're going to meet, or, you know, sort of, you know, we're better than, we bring something special to you, whatever it is, that there is a lot of damage that can be done.
Sure.
And what I've loved learning over the 2 years I've been here is that that's not how Grace does mission trips. That it is, it's the, what, 36 years of?
At least, yeah.
At least of relationship. It's naming, all of the people that you just named and have relationships with. It's asking Lupita, how can we lessen your load? Like, how can we, and asking the questions instead of assuming, and then receiving the feedback and saying, okay, we can do better. Let's try it again. And to not think that, I love that the relationship is the important part of being in community, being a Christian community. It's not about going and fixing anybody. It's not about going and trying to save anyone, or it's not about going to try to, make someone's life infinitely better by our presence. Like it's about how can we come alongside and lift your load a little bit so that it's not so heavy.
And trust, you know, share our compassion, share our understanding, just walking alongside people is the biggest thing that you can do.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'll just say, and then the next year that I went back, you know, the kids, the orphans, you know, they recognize us because we don't change that much, right? Hopefully we don't. We don't gain a lot of weight. We don't lose a lot of hair. But, you know, I've done all that. But they'll grow a foot, right? And then they'll say something, or they'll bring up a gesture, or they'll bring up a certain way that they hug you, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so then you immediately know who they are.
Yeah.
And this is a year of separation, but they still remember the special handshakes that we taught them. They remember the different games that we're sitting. You know, we'd be helping in the kitchen with a meal while it was being prepared. We'd spend time in community with the kids around the tables and that kind of thing. And, you know, it just became very commonplace, and Grace developed a level of trust that we could be in that space and not trod on their world, you know, tread upon their world. Right.
Yeah.
And so, very important thing, but also how powerful is it that we were able to build those relationships, not only with the staff at the orphanage, but every kid. And there are kids that were probably 4 or 5 that know who Mike Maloney is.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? They know who Jeff Barstow is. They know who Dave Ellis is. They know Crystal Crepane. They know those advisors that were just drawn back there year after year to be on those mission trips and to build those relationships and really let God's Spirit fill the space. And what a wonderful experience that was.
Yeah.
To be part of that.
Oh, well, I could just sit here and talk all night, Tim. This has been so lovely. Thank you for sharing, all of you, for sharing your heart, your hopes, your dreams, your struggles, all of it. This has just been a delight, truly. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you're welcome. And it was wonderful to spend time with you. And I look forward to to, again, continue to build those relationships with the community of grace. And so we're looking forward to seeing everyone soon.
Yes, ditto. Well, what a great note to end on. Yes, indeed, looking forward to seeing everyone together again someday. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. We're going to get there. We just have to hang on until then. Well, everyone listening, thank you so much for joining us today. Tune in next week for another episode, another great Get to Know Grace guest. We'll be ready and willing and waiting for more stories of God's grace active in our lives. So thank you again so much, Tim. Blessings to you all listening. Blessings on the rest of your week. Take care, and God's grace go with you all.